Hey, what's up, everyone? It is January 29th, 2017, Sunday night, Royal Rumble night, and this is your pay-per-view recap, hosted by not only yours truly for tonight, but I am joined along with...
Kev Castle.
Hey, Kev, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Sunday night, rare Sunday night. We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, you know, I have been doing the pay-per-view recap solo, and I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, it would actually make sense to have you on also. This way, we don't have to have a discussion Monday night about the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. We're doing it now.
Of course. Huh.
Now, big shout-out to our patrons, because they obviously are getting this audio first, and this audio will be online literally about 5 minutes after we record it, and right now... We are recording this 5 minutes after the Royal Rumble just ended.
Right.
And I got to tell you, you know, going into the Royal Rumble match and looking at all of the predictions that everybody made on our Patreon page.
Way off.
Yeah, you know, like people like Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, even though I said there's no way Kurt Angle is going to make a return.
Finn Balor,
you know,
Goldberg,
it's, you know, but I got to tell you, man, you know, you figured maybe a little swerve and Seth Rollins is thrown back in there. Nope. You think Triple H might make an appearance? Nope. You think we will have, you know, maybe a couple of guys from NXT other than Ty Dillinger? Nope. Samoa Joe? Nope. Shinsuke Nakamura? Nope. I got to tell you, man, like I said, everybody listening, we are doing this literally 5 minutes after the pay-per-view just ended. So maybe our thoughts will change a little bit tomorrow, but my initial reaction at this pay-per-view is... three things. I think Roman Reigns in his match against Kevin Owens, the ass kicking that he gave, the ass kicking that he took, the performance that he put on, I think people need to start finally showing maybe a little bit more respect to Roman Reigns. And I am not a Roman Reigns fan.
I agree. He did put on a good match. And I saw a lot of, I was on Twitter, I was nosing around here and there. He was getting some props even from some of his critics.
Yeah, and my second of three reactions tonight is, can two guys possibly have match of the year 2 years in a row? Last year, to me, AJ Styles versus John Cena SummerSlam was match of the year. And the performance that these two guys put on tonight, I have been saying for years, Cena deserves the spot that he's in because of everything he does for WWE 24/7, Make-A-Wish. You watch this match today and the fucking story that it told, how can you be annoyed at all at Cena winning? They put on, no pun intended, a phenomenal performance. And honestly, you could be the biggest hater of Cena. More than Democrats hating Trump. And I think you have to give him some credit tonight. Put on a fucking great performance. AJ Styles did as well. We'll talk about the matches in particular. But my third instant reaction from tonight is, I got to tell you, this Royal Rumble match, to me, I have to really put my thinking caps on this week if I even feel like doing that. But soaking in this entire main event, I got to tell you, to me, it's one of the worst fucking Royal Rumble matches I have ever seen.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, my pick to win it all was Chris Jericho. Yes, he made it to the Final Four, and I'm a huge Jericho fan, but I don't know if anybody noticed, but Jericho stood outside the ring about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, he would take a shot, take a finisher, be out of the ring 10 minutes. Take another finisher, be out of ring 10 minutes. And, you know, when you have your crowd chanting, this is bullshit at the end, and they're chanting bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. I mean, to me, WWE could have had a little bit of momentum with Roman Reigns after his match with Kevin Owens. And like I said moments ago, and I just thought about it, you know, here I am giving props for Roman Reigns and for the performance that he took with Kevin Owens and lost. Didn't win the belt. And to me, WWE just threw that little bit of appreciation out of the goddamn window because of the nonsense that they did tonight. You know, I mean, Roman Reigns, to me, what did they put him in the match for? Just to hype up him versus Undertaker at WrestleMania? Was that the whole purpose?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the rumors were circulating a day or two ago about two things. Maybe it was before that, but it was more it was more out there. Reigns Taker at Mania, which I think we dismissed early on, and a lot of people did. No one called this. And Randy Orton winning the Royal Rumble came into play last couple of days, big time, big time. People even saying to me, putting on my page, dude, don't, you know, the word on the street is Orton. I'm like, really? When is that? And I looked into it. I talked to another friend of mine who actually is now working with WWE. I won't mention who he is. And all of a sudden, it was all about Orton. And I was like, when did this come into play? So, yeah, those two things came to fruition. Just goes to show you, some leaks came out. And it looks like it's most likely, it's not announced yet, but Reigns Taker and Orton Bray Wyatt. And I did not see that. And we certainly didn't discuss it on the show.
Yeah. And now for people that are going to say, because there are people on Twitter, I want to let those people know, relax, relax, take a chill pill. I know that sounds like an outdated phrase, but yeah. I'm seeing people whining and crying tonight saying, holy shit, we're going to have another fucking John Cena Randy Orton match at WrestleMania? Yeah. Take a step back. We have Elimination Chamber, and yeah, word around the campfire is Bray Wyatt may actually win the WWE title at Elimination Chamber, so Cena's run might be very, very short.
Well, that's what I'm getting ahead of myself. That's what I'm saying. The word around the campfire and big time is Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton. But those are two matches, honestly, Don Tony, that I don't see at WrestleMania. They've had a feud already. They're together in the family, so to speak. The Wyatts, 4 months? So now they'll just feud again, but we've seen this before. And Taker Reigns, that styles are so it's not a good matchup. I mean, this is what we got for Mania. I mean, I don't know, dude. I don't know, man.
I'm very concerned.
I'm concerned too. I don't like this at all. And I don't like this at all.
And you know, to the casual listeners to our show, they're going to be like, "Oh, you know, what are you so concerned about? It's fucking wrestling. It's but we're not concerned that we're going to fucking start drinking hot chocolate to look for coloring books like the snowflakes and fucking ponder suicide. We're saying, as wrestling fans, where WrestleMania is the biggest event of the year,
right,
you know, it's like I'm starting to see some of these matches come to form. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd rather see Orton be the champion going into WrestleMania and Bray chasing it. Who winning the belt at Mania does it mean more? Bray winning it the first time, Randy Orton winning it for the umpteenth time, or Bray Wyatt retaining? To me, the newness, Bray Wyatt winning it the first time at WrestleMania, to me, means more than anything. I don't want to see, look, do I want to see Bray Wyatt heavyweight champion? Absolutely. Me too.
Oh yeah, me too. Don't get me wrong. I do, but I don't know. Like I said, him and Orton, it's so, you know, they feuded a few months ago. Then they're part of the same family unit for a couple of months. It just seems kind of, is it rushed? Is the word, Anthony? I don't know.
It doesn't feel organic.
It doesn't feel organic. That's it. Yeah, it doesn't feel organic. There's just, you know, and Reigns Taker, I don't like that matchup, and I don't know how it benefits Taker, who's on his way out. This has to be Taker's probably last WrestleMania. And Reigns, and now we'll probably hear, oh, Taker insisted upon it because he wants to help Roman. It's going to be some story like that, Don Tony, in the locker
room. Yeah, well, I'm concerned about
Taker handpicked Roman Reigns. Like, regardless if he did or not, I just, those two styles, I don't see meeting at all, Reigns and Taker. I see it complete. I don't know. Taker's going to let him spear him. So Undertaker's going to sell the Superman punch and get knocked out by Roman Reigns. I don't know. I just see that a clash of styles. It just doesn't work for me. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it could work. Maybe it's something Taker insisted upon to help get Roman more over, if that's possible at this point. I don't know. Maybe it's, we'll hear all the rumblings, I'm sure, this week of why this is happening.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting. You know, Goldberg speared Taker tonight, but it was very, very light.
It was mild.
My girlfriend, she's like, oh, that was not impressive. I mean, and Goldberg was being very impressive in the match for the 2 minutes that he was in there. But
he was intense. And once again, Brock Lesnar looked like a bitch. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but here's the thing that concerns me. And I know Kev is a tremendous Undertaker fan over the years. And I'm a fan of Taker's too.
Yeah.
But last week, and the video is still online, last week after Raw went off the air with Goldberg, Lesnar, and Taker in the ring, somebody had posted fan footage of what transpired after Raw went off the air. And people were taking note. I know Solo Monster did. I know a lot of people did. Soup did. Obviously, you and I had done our show already, so we didn't comment on it. But people were saying, wow, Undertaker looks like he can't move around at all.
He did look
and
like
I watched, you know, from remembering that video last week, I said, you know, when Undertaker's in the ring tonight, I'm going to watch it closely. And even though he did move around a little bit with Roman Reigns, like, he didn't run the ropes. Like, he reversed it. And he did a lot of moves stationary. And Undertaker looks like, he's recovering whatever it was, hip surgery, knee surgery, whatever it was. He doesn't look like he's 100%. And if you're going to have a match against Roman Reigns, you know what I mean? Think about the match that Roman Reigns had with Kevin Owens tonight. Of course, we don't expect Undertaker to have the physicality as the level of Kevin Owens. But, you know, Undertaker's going to have to slow down. Well, I take that back. Instead of Undertaker being able to speed up for Roman Reigns' type of matches, Roman Reigns is going to have to slow down.
Right.
And Roman Reigns having to be methodical to go long, I don't care if Roman Reigns turns full-blown heel tomorrow night. And obviously for the people that are listening to this, that are listening attached to the Monday episode of Don Tony and Kevin Castle, January 30th, obviously we're doing this before Raw took place. So we don't know if Roman Reigns is going to be full-blown heel or not. But you want to get into some of these matches? We'll run down them pretty quick.
Sure.
All right. First off, you know, we were at the Alamo Dome. Official attendance tonight, 52,020, which is very impressive.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Royal Rumble is, I got to be honest with you, I think next to WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble match is my most anticipated match every year.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
You know,
Mania and Rumble, yeah.
But, you know, it's because of the element of surprise, not knowing who draws what, not knowing if anybody's going to become a star. To me, Diesel became a star that one Royal Rumble match. Remember when he was eliminating everybody and the crowd was going crazy? To me, that's the night that Diesel, you know, like, turned the page, I guess you would call it. But Jesus, you would have thought, I can't tell you how many people predicted Braun Strowman being in the Final Four tonight. That son of a bitch got eliminated early.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and Baron Corbin got a nice pop from the crowd for doing it. But, you know, like, a few minutes later, nobody gave a fuck.
Uh-huh.
You know? We had a couple of pre-show matches tonight. Alexa Bliss, Natalya, and Mickie James lose to Becky Lynch, Naomi, and Nikki Bella. You know, just your standard match. You know, I'm not trying to belittle the women, but basically it was a regular match. They really did not showcase Mickie James all that much. And, you know, the match ended with Naomi hitting her finisher on Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing spectacular there, I have to honestly say.
Not a big fan of Naomi. She seems like a nice, good person, as a, you know, quality human being. As a character, her character is garbage to me. I don't think she should be the one to take down Bliss in the end. Unless they've given up on Becky Lynch, or not given up, but just going with another direction, which I find strange. But yeah, once again, I had this conversation with Mish. I still think the SmackDown girls look, might not be an actual fact, but look inferior to the Raw girls.
Yeah, and it's amazing because for a while we actually were given more props to the, you know, the SmackDown women just for putting on, you know, better matches. And yes, I know Sasha, Charlotte, Sasha Bailey, but, you know, the feud was so centered around Sasha Charlotte, so many women took back burner. Nia Jax was MIA for months.
True.
You know, fucking Summer Rae, even though, you know, she's not been showcased to the point of being extremely impressive, you know, on television, where is she? You know, like, all the women took back burners so they could focus on this feud. So, well, anyway, you know, we had Peter Rosenberg from Hot 97 doing some of the commentary, you know, for the pre-show. It was nice to see. Little piece of advice for him: when you're around the crowd and you're yelling at the top of their lungs, I think you have to amp up your voice a little bit more. Could hardly hear what he was saying. But another pre-show match tonight, very surprising as far as I'm concerned. Gallows and Anderson finally break the glass ceiling, as they said tonight. They win the tag titles, defeating Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Basically, they hit the magic killer on Sheamus. However, Sheamus was not the legal man in the ring. Carl Anderson got a roll of the tights on Cesaro for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so that might be the pleasant surprise, let's call it to you that way. You know, like, because everyone is, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, you know, I'm trying to, I don't know if anybody's diehard fans of those guys, because they haven't really given you a reason to be. I mean, maybe you were from when they were in Japan and rooting for them and been patient for the last, what seems like almost a year. It's less than a year. But they finally won the belts. They won the big one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that now they have it. And let's see if they have any momentum with it, or if it's taken off them in 2 weeks. We don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. We had two refs in the match. That black ref, I call him Petty Long. You know, because he looks like Teddy Long, but he's like a petty version of Teddy Long, so I call him Petty Long.
Very young version.
P-E-T-T-Y, yeah, Petty Long. He was the second ref. He's the one that actually did the three count, because the other one accidentally got bro-kicked in that match.
Right.
You know, it was kind of funny, because during the pre-show tonight, they were talking about Neville versus Rich Swann. And when they got to Peter Rosenberg, they asked his thoughts, like, what do you think about Rich Swann? And you know what Peter Rosenberg actually said?
What?
He said that he thinks that Rich Swann is a little too happy, dances, is not angry enough. You know, I've only heard one show actually talk about that at all. You know, it's hey, could be great men think alike, maybe, but I just got a kick out of it, because right away people are sending me like tweets and Insta messages. Hey, Don Tony, did you hear what Peter Rosenberg said? And you know my answer was, over and over, I was like, yeah, he's smart. You know, I agree with him. That's what I've been saying. You know, I'm glad fucking Rich Swann got his ass kicked and lost tonight. You know, nothing against him personally, but Neville's got the momentum. So, and another pre-show match tonight, and I got to tell you, you know, I think Vince was probably yelling in their fucking earpieces, the announcers, when Nia Jax pretty much manhandled Sasha Banks and beat her in 5 minutes, and Corey Graves actually used the word domination. You had other announcers talking about how nobody has manhandled Sasha Banks like this. And of course, you and I said Nia Jax has got to go over strong. But, you know, right away, you like heard it's. I can almost picture like Vince screaming in the air, because like within like 30 seconds of set, it's just like totally putting domination. They're like, oh, well, her knee's not 100%. And, you know, after she hit this move, you know, maybe her knee was bothering her. But wow, jobbed out 5 minutes.
Yep.
You know, I could see if she was selling the knee. You know, you and I said Monday they should have just made a ref stoppage. She couldn't continue abusing the knee. You know, and let the ref stop it. This way it saves Sasha from getting pinned. I mean, you know, we got the boss crying. We got to lose it in 5 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but meanwhile, Hell in a Cell, remember, before Hell in a Cell even happened, she was fucking almost crippled, you know, at the ringside. No, we got to do the match. But today, 5 minutes, you know, she got the three count. And I'm saying in storyline. I mean, we know she really didn't lose.
Oh, you know? I know.
I have to specify it, because sometimes you get these jerk-offs that are like, hey, Don Tony, you know that this is predetermined, right? So, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, when you and I mean, we don't go to the movies as much anymore. We watch it from our houses. But when you go to the movies, there is no disclaimer in the beginning like, hey, Rambo's not really killing people. Hey, Jason's really not stabbing people. Hey, you know, we're really not abusing pets.
You know, right.
these terrorists really aren't blowing themselves up. Fucking believable.
Stupid ass. So
anyway, we'll stick to the Royal Rumble because obviously you and I are going to be talking 24 hours from now.
Of course.
Royal Rumble opened up with Bayley losing to Charlotte. Nice back and forth. I thought they both did a great job. You know, the ending was really, you know, abrupt, I thought. The only thing I thought the match was missing was animosity. I mean, I know Charlotte was playing the psychology like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk, a walk in the park. You know, it was going to be simple. But yeah. Then Bayley started to get the upper hand. You know, I thought the match was okay. I really had no real problem with it. I just felt like that heat wasn't there.
I agree.
You know, I mean, the match was good. I mean, I will say this. You know, for anybody out there that really thinks that Sasha has better in-ring psychology than Charlotte, you have to pay more attention to Charlotte. I mean, there was a great example tonight where Bayley chopped Charlotte. She chopped her in the chest. Yeah. Charlotte wasn't selling it like she was hurt. She was selling it like, how dare you do my father's move? You know what I mean? Like, she had that look of shock, like, how dare you do that move? You know, and it's little psychological things like that to me. It's things I take notice, you know, and I just think Charlotte is so much more superior in the psychological department than Sasha Banks.
I agree. Sasha Banks doesn't have the remote psychology that Sasha Banks, I mean, that Charlotte has. Do you think it's because of the whole, you know, how Charlotte was brought up and her father and stuff, and Sasha, you know, not being an insider like Charlotte was privy to?
That could be part of it. I think the problem with Sasha is, and I think some people will agree with me on this, I think she's lost her identity a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, WWE, like, she wasn't a babyface, and she was most over when she was a tweener. Like, yeah. she was sort of a babyface, but she was conceited. Now it's like, okay, she glances to the crowd and gives a little smile here and there because she doesn't want to go full-blown, let me hug people and slap fives, but I think she's lost her identity, you know, and her psychology doesn't match the boss. There's nothing about her that reeks the boss. She's attractive, you know, people, and she's an awesome worker, but is she the boss? So, anyway, we had Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens next for the Universal title. Roman Reigns booed heavily in the beginning because of no DQ match. You know, obviously Jericho and KO started beating up on Reigns to open it up before the match started. They ultimately got Jericho in a cage. I'm happy that Jericho wasn't as high as I thought they were going to make him. He was only about 20 to 25 feet high, which I thought was enough.
Yeah.
You know? What did you think of the match? Reigns versus Kevin Owens.
I thought it was, like I said before, he put in a good match. I thought that this will give him a little bit more respect. I mean, you know how this goes at this point, Don Tony. You know, despite him putting on good matches, and some people give him the credit for it, even the harshest critics, even if it's guys like us, guys like Jason Solomonster, guys like maybe Missionary Joe. I haven't heard what they said yet, but I assume they'll be fair in their analysis because he did put on a good match. Phil Rhea, everyone could say, hey, give the guy credit, good match. He's still going to have all those tons of haters. It's not going to change anything. It's frustrating for the people who want to be fair and like him. It's, you know, I was going to compare it to the Donald Trump situation, but that's not even fair. But it's, you know, when people are hell-bent on not giving somebody credit or not backing somebody, I don't know if it'll get any better for him. Critically, yes. Fan-wise, no. Is that a fair thing to say? Critics, positive, fans continue to do what they do.
Well, if he wasn't in the Royal Rumble match tonight, I would say, you know what? I think people may start to give him a little bit more credit. But after what happened in the Royal Rumble, it's like it just soured the whole match.
Yeah.
And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
And I'm not blaming Roman Reigns for Goldberg eliminating Brock Lesnar in a minute. Pretty much that's what it was. I'm not blaming Baron Corbin eliminating Braun Strowman, which I thought was way too early. I'm not blaming, you know, Y2J getting eliminated because I thought it would have made sense. Jericho wins. You know, that was my prediction Monday, what I wanted. I wanted Jericho to win, and then that forces him to face Kevin Owens at WrestleMania for the title, even though we hear that Kevin Owens may not be the champion going into WrestleMania. But, you know, I thought the match was great. I mean, you know, you think about what happened at the main Royal Rumble match itself, and then you go backwards and you say, okay, what does Braun Strowman, where is he fit in with all of this? Because Braun Strowman, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure Raw has a pay-per-view before WrestleMania. So my guess is that Braun Strowman is probably going to face Roman Reigns, you know, before WrestleMania. Because Braun Strowman, for the people that didn't see the match, you know, towards the end, we thought Roman Reigns was going to pin Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns put Kevin Owens through a table, powerbombed him through the announcer's table, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Braun Strowman attacks Roman Reigns, slams Reigns through the announce table, which didn't break. Then he throws Reigns through a table that was in the corner of the ring, and Owens pins Reigns, 1-2-3. So basically, Braun Strowman caused Roman Reigns to lose.
That's true.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, the match itself was great, and I'm happy that Kevin Owens is still champion. But again, I just feel WWE fucked up any little additional respect that Roman Reigns may have gotten out of this match.
Yeah, well, you know, they think they're doing good by him, and I don't think anybody knows what to do anymore, because once again, even if he puts on a good match, I think he's going to be almost, I'm trying to compare him to an actor or a ball team or whatever, like critically acclaimed but not fan received well. I mean, I don't know. Even though he has his supporters, it's not like he has none. It's just people who hate him are going to continue to hate him. Doesn't matter what he does. Because I had this discussion with Trez, the girl who was on the show, and she'll actually be on with me Tuesday for the Castle Chronicles Patreon. This discussion that she would be all about him if he really, you know, got into a heel persona and really kind of changed his wardrobe and stuff. She would totally give him, because she's not a big fan of his, but she would be if he changed it up. Like, you know, because he does have ability, he can be something, he can be money, but not what he is now. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, that's what a small percentage, though. I don't think it's all of a sudden going to turn around if he comes out in a suit and tie and you know, shaves his beard off, cuts his hair, wears a different attire. I don't think it's going to change anything. You know what I mean? Has that worked for anybody, D'Antoni, over the years? Certainly didn't work for Dolph Ziggler when he became a brunette and cut his hair.
You know, because fans have been shitting on Roman Reigns, a majority of fans, for a while, it could work. Could. You know, we don't know.
When are they going to try it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see Roman Reigns all of a sudden being in the good graces of the Authority or Stephanie McMahon. And Stephanie McMahon had the stupidest comment of the night. I don't know if anybody picked up on it, but me, I did, because I like intelligence. I don't like dopey comments that don't make sense. And Stephanie gave the doozy tonight. Backstage segment, Mick Foley, Stephanie, this is right after the match between Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. Let me ask you a question. Okay, this match was a no DQ match, and Jericho was up in the air. Okay, now Stephanie McMahon threw a wise-ass remark in storyline to Mick Foley that, you know, that something was ineffective tonight. Totally ineffective. Now, what would you say in that match was totally ineffective that was Mick Foley's idea? What do you think was totally ineffective, the no DQ or the fact that Jericho was in a shark cage?
I don't know. Shark cage?
No, it would be the no DQ because the reason why Foley... See, basically what happened was Stephanie was belittling Mick Foley, saying, well, that idea of Mick of the shark cage was totally ineffective. And I'm saying to myself, what are you, stupid? You're the head writer and you're actually saying the shark cage was totally ineffective? Wait a minute. Let's think of the storyline now. Foley put Jericho in the shark cage so Jericho would not interfere in the match. Yes, Jericho threw a pair of brass knucks, but it didn't do anything. It didn't cause the match to end or anything like that. The fact that Foley made it no DQ allowed Braun Strowman to interfere. That caused Kevin Owens to win over Roman Reigns. So if anything backfired, it was the no DQ clause. Why would you make it a no DQ match?
That's true.
You know, think about it. What was the purpose in storyline of making it a no DQ match? So her saying that the shark cage was totally ineffective just made no sense. And I hate having to think like a fifth grader when I'm watching fucking wrestling. You know? So anyway, Rich Swann versus Neville was next. Neville wins, hit the superplex for a two count, but then put his submission move on, you know, to me is, you know, if they ever do a remake of The Love Boat, I think Rich Swann would be the perfect Isaac. Could you picture it?
That's a good one.
Seriously, think of Rich Swann with his laugh, and he's dancing, he's got the smile and the white teeth and all that. Think of Isaac from The Love Boat. All Rich Swann has to do is take his two, what is it, index fingers? Yeah. You know, Isaac used to go and, like, you know, like point both of those fingers at the camera. You know, when they used to do the opening, Love Boat. That's what Isaac, that's what Rich Swann needs to be.
My friend Mike does that all the time with his thumbs up. He looks at you and he gives you the thumbs up.
Yeah, no, it's the index fingers.
Oh, my friend does a similar thing like that.
I'm telling you, Rich Swann could be the Isaac if they ever do the remake, seriously. But, you know, look, Rich Swann, you know, he's a likable guy, very talented. The match was excellent. You know, the opening pissed me off. Because you think, you know, like I was joking last week and I wrote on Facebook, I watched the backstage segment with Rich Swann that aired after Raw and I was dying laughing. Like I can't put any believability in him being angry. And they do a collar and elbow tie-up to open up the match and Rich Swann does a clean break. Now, yeah, Rich Swann, good guy, could see that. But then they do another collar and elbow. Neville goes to punch Rich Swann. And Rich Swann, being pissed off at fucking Neville, what does he do? He puts him in a headlock. First fucking move. You're finally getting your hands on this Matarazzo. And what does fucking Rich Swann do? He puts him in a headlock. It's just, that just totally proved to me, you know, Neville is more fit to be champion
right
now.
Of course he is, yeah.
Told a great story. Neville is your champion. Now we got AJ Styles versus John Cena. To me, the crowd was into this match like, if this would have closed out WrestleMania, I think the crowd would have loved it. The crowd was fucking so energetic in this match.
Yeah.
You know, the only unfortunate thing is we were, unfortunately, you know, having to endure more of David Otunga on the commentary.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, when Otunga, his exact quote was, when you see the vein and seeing his right arm start pumping, AJ Styles better look out. The fuck was that mean?
Oh, God.
What the fuck does that mean? Idiot. So anyway, you know, look, I could fucking go through move by move. Styles hit the Argentine backbreaker for a two count. It was fucking hilarious that WWE backfired with the crowd shot. Anybody that watches this match again, when Styles hit the Argentine backbreaker for a two count, they immediately panned the crowd and they just so luckily happened to get some very ugly Asian that decided to celebrate the Chinese New Year by picking his nose live on camera. So anybody out there, make sure you get the little screenshot so I could put it on our synopsis tomorrow night. I need the screenshot of the Asian that picked his nose right after the Argentine backbreaker for the two count. But Jesus, Cena put on fucking moves that we really have not seen Cena do. You know, yes, some of the moves were moves that other wrestlers have done, but you know, a lot of reversals. You know, Cena reversed the calf crusher into an STF. Styles reverses the STF and puts his own STF on Cena. Cena breaks out. Looks like he's going to go for his own Styles clash. Hits the figure four. Styles breaks out of that. You know, it just fucking... what an awesome story between those two guys. They really...
Yeah, it's good. It's a good feud.
Yeah. I mean, the finishing of the night, Cena hit the AA off the top rope for a two count. Styles hit a Styles Clash for the second time for a two count. Styles, after hitting the Styles Clash, went to the outside of the ring to go with to try to execute the phenomenal forearm. Cena caught him and turned it into two AAs for the 1-2-3. And two nice gestures after the match ended. Okay. Charles Robinson was the referee. and Charles Robinson's little niche, you know, and Cena was giving, you know, Charles like a lot of appreciation, shaking his hand. I don't know if that had to do with Ric Flair, you know, because Cena, obviously now they, you know, they talk about his title reign, you know, on the level of Ric Flair with the number of victories and everything.
Yeah.
And after that, Cena immediately went out into the crowd, a Make-A-Wish kid. Put the belt on him, did a selfie with him, and was, it's, how could, I mean, look, you could be the biggest Cena hater. How could you really get pissed off at Cena tonight overall?
Nah.
And I'm not trying to be a softy here. You know, I mean, they just, to me, you know, when someone really earns it, to me, Cena earned his victory tonight.
Yeah, well, he's still the biggest name in the company, so.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then finally, you know, to wrap this up, we got the Royal Rumble match. You know, for everybody that took part in our predictions contest, I will put up the winners tomorrow. I have, obviously, we know Chris Jericho lasted the longest. I don't know if we need the tiebreaker or not, but for those that are interested, the number one entry in the Royal Rumble was Big Cass. Chris Jericho was number two. Number 30 was, if I remember correctly, Roman Reigns. Obviously, yeah. Got a massive amount of boos. You know, as far as surprise entrance, Ty Dillinger. I mean, who else? I mean, that's not on the Raw or SmackDown roster. Was there anybody else?
Not that I know. Surprises. No. No throwback guys.
No. No. I mean, no RVD, no Kevin Nash.
No Gilbert. No nothing.
No Samoa Joe. None. Nobody. Just I don't know. And as far as who would lasted the shortest, I'm not sure if it's Ellsworth or Enzo Amore. But Enzo was in there for a very short period of time. He had that stare down with Brock Lesnar, and Brock Lesnar just flung him out of the ring.
Someone saying that it's almost clear as day that when they split, Enzo is going to be the Santino Marella of the WWE.
Wouldn't surprise me.
The new Santino.
Wouldn't surprise me. I think James Ellsworth sort of is the new Santino as far
No, because they're saying someone who can do comedy, you know, go out, cut promos, do silly things, be...
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Magnet, you know, like, you know, get his ass whipped. No, but James Ellsworth can't talk. He can't talk.
No. No. And, you know, as far as who had the most eliminations, I believe it was Braun Strowman with 7.
Yeah, it was Strowman, actually.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Reigns now is not going to be in a title picture, as it looks now, if he faces Taker. So he's not, you know, there should be no heat as far as that goes for, you know, focusing on any kind of championship, because if he's against Taker, it's an attraction match. It's not even anything to do with titles.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll tell you, you know, there was rumors online that WWE created a new heavyweight championship with a different color strap. I saw it. It looks like it's like a bluish gray. I don't know if you saw that. And that concerned the shit out of me, because if you watch Roman Reigns' ring attire as he hits the ring, when they have the spotlights on him when he's coming down the rampway, his vest and his wristbands look like a bluish gray. And, you know, it's more blue when you have the regular lights on. But, you know, I'm thinking of that new design color of the belt, and I'm saying, wow, that fucking makes sense. Kevin Owens, a lot of his outfits have red in it. So, yeah. Like, the belt matches Kevin Owens' black and red attire. The new WWE title design with that bluish gray matches a little bit of what Roman Reigns is wearing. And that was concerning me. I'm like saying to myself, why would they debut a new color belt if Kevin Owens retains?
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? So that was my concern going into the match. Like, okay, if this new belt is really on the horizon, you know, of course, is going to be a new champion to give that belt to. But now I'm saying to myself, okay, maybe Finn Balor may show up on Raw. Maybe Finn Balor, they didn't want him to win the Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. Winning the Royal Rumble, you get a main event at WrestleMania. That doesn't mean that there's only one main event at WrestleMania. It could be 3-4 matches that are considered main events, just like they did with Hell in a Cell. You know, so give the SmackDown guy the win at the Royal Rumble so he gets to face the champion from SmackDown, and then you can have any Raw guy you want face the Raw heavyweight champion. You know, so I know there's a lot of rumors that Jericho is going to face Roman Reigns, I mean, Kevin Owens still. But I think if Finn Balor is able to return, I think Finn Balor may end up facing Kevin Owens. Even though I've read the reports that WWE does not plan on having Kevin Owens holding that title going to Mania, which I think is ridiculous. Let him keep it into Mania. I mean, Mania is, what, 2 months away?
They said they're losing a lot of money with him as champion, though. That's just the fact. They're just not drawing.
I don't buy it. I think it's the overall. I mean, when you have to have two cruiserweight matches every Monday night, and you have to have two women's matches every Monday night, how do you put the blame on Kevin Owens? You know? So anyway, for anybody that wants to know, you know, the entrance, I'll give them to you really quick because I typed them up. Big Kaz, number one, Jericho, two, Kalisto, three, Mojo Rawley, number four, Jack Gallagher, number five. Too much utilizing the umbrella tonight, Gallagher?
Yeah.
It was too much, too much. Mark Henry, number six, Strowman, seven, Sami Zayn, eight, Big Show, nine. Who was number 10? Ty Dillinger, number 10, James Ellsworth, 11, Ambrose, 12, Baron Corbin, 13, Kofi, 14, Miz, with accompanied by Leather Camel Toe. Did you see Marisa's Camel Toe?
No, I got to
go. When she comes out, she's wearing all leather, and the first thing you see is Camel Toe.
Got to go back and look.
You got to go see it. All right. My girlfriend, she's in the other room. The door's closed. She can't hear me, but yeah. Miz, accompanied by Leather Camel Toe tonight.
Nice.
She looked nice. So Miz at 15, Sheamus 16, Big E 17, Rusev 18, accompanied with a face mask because he broke his nose last week on Raw. Cesaro 19, Xavier Woods 20, Bray Wyatt 21, Apollo Crews 22, Randy Orton 23, Ambrose 24, Luke Harper 25, Brock Lesnar 26, Enzo 27, Goldberg 28, Undertaker 29, Roman Reigns 30. I don't like that the part-timers... And I mean, Roman Reigns, I don't think should have been in at all. I could understand him being number 30 because he had a fucking big match earlier and he was tired. But to have all the big names all bunched up at the end, it's like, okay, you know, we're going to put you on, but you don't have to come on until the end. And you're only going to have to be in there for 2 or 3 minutes. It's like, I don't blame the fans chanting this is bullshit at the end.
No.
You know? So, you know, it had a couple of highlights. During the night, you know, the little back and forth with Goldberg and Taker was amusing. You know, Enzo and Brock staring down was amusing. You know, but there really wasn't, you know, there's nothing. Like, I'm going through the eliminations and I'm looking at it. You know, like, the one thing that annoyed me is, and I'm talking storyline. I understand the referees are out of the ring to make sure that the guys touch the floor with both their feet to be eliminated. But, you know, I'm a huge Jericho fan. I wanted Jericho to win. I'm not complaining that Jericho, you know, was doing this. But what really annoyed me the most tonight was this, okay? I'm looking at it. Jericho slides out of the ring when Strowman entered at number 7. Nobody mentioned it, okay? Jericho didn't get hit. Strowman's music hit. He was coming down, and Jericho, getting scared, slid out of the ring. Okay? Sami Zayn enters at number 8. Big Show enters at number 9. And Jericho is still out of the ring for 6 minutes. Why are the refs allowing him in storyline to stand outside the ring for 6 freaking minutes?
Right.
Then Jericho finally hits the ring. I want everybody to just picture this. I'm sorry for talking so much, but Jericho hits the ring, gets punched in the face by Big Show.
Right.
All right. Now he gets knocked out by Big Show. Even before that, before Jericho hits the ring, the announcers never made mention that Jericho left the ring for 6 minutes, but the cameraman took a shot at Jericho outside the ring. And Jericho finally enters the ring. Big Show punches him immediately in the face. Jericho exits the ring again for another 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay? So Jericho's out of the ring 6 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes. Jericho finally enters back in the ring, immediately gets bro-kicked by Sheamus. And what does Jericho do? Rolls out of the ring again for another 10 minutes. So you think about that. Jericho's now in this match for about 30 or 40 minutes, and his total time inside the ring was about 5 minutes. And the referees are doing nothing about it. You know, and like I said, you know, Lawler hid under the ring in 1995. All right. Wrestlers, Jake Roberts, I think, hid under the ring when Savage came out in 92 or 91. The one that Ric Flair won, 92.
Right.
You know, but for Jericho to just be standing outside the ring and the referees are standing right next to him, I mean, that's just, I don't know. Why doesn't everybody just hang out outside the ring then?
Good question.
That annoyed the shit out of me. And I understand they want to pace Jericho. They want him to, you know, to last the whole night. But my God, you know, he gets bro kicked and he rolls out of the ring and he's on the side where the referees are.
Right.
And the referees are doing nothing. He's out there for 10 minutes. Referees are doing nothing. That annoyed the shit out of me tonight. Again, the Royal Rumble match, I did not like it. It had a couple of little moments here and there. The final four was Reigns, Jericho, Bray Wyatt, and Randy Orton. Basically, what happened with Brock and Goldberg was this. Brock entered at number 26. He immediately eliminated Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, started hitting suplexes and F5s on almost everyone.
Right.
Enzo enters at 27, has a stare down. Lawler even said, this poor schmuck, just turn around and go back to the locker room, which I actually laughed at. Enzo and Brock had a stare down. Lesnar immediately eliminates him. Goldberg comes in at number 28. Goldberg immediately hits a spear on Brock Lesnar and eliminates him.
Yeah.
I mean, immediately. Goldberg then hits a jackhammer on Sami Zayn. You know, Bray and Randy team up, try to eliminate Goldberg. Goldberg, you know, gets the upper hand. Undertaker's music hits, number 29.
Right.
Goldberg immediately eliminates Rusev. Corbin gets eliminated. Goldberg hits a very light spear on Undertaker, and Undertaker eliminates Goldberg. And the fans are not happy. But at least Taker is still in there. And then what happens? Roman Reigns' music hits at number 30. Reigns hits the ring, you know, and Reigns eliminates Undertaker.
And that's it.
And that's pretty much where everybody was like chanting, this is bullshit, bullshit. I mean, that's not good. That's not good.
Yeah, but Taker wasn't going to win. He can't barely
oh,
walk.
Oh, no. I totally agree.
Can't the fans see that this is a 53-year-old man? He's not winning anything. You know, Taker, I'm sure the back is frustrated with him not retiring already. I mean, I'm sure the frustration set in that he is not retired yet. He should be retired. He looks like an old man. The HD brings out the old face big time. I mean, you got to admit, Don Tony, he looks fit in his 50s.
I thought he looked good tonight. I mean,
facially, he looks like an old man.
Yeah, he, you know what? But the guy liner and he grew his hair back.
It's receding like a motherfucker.
I don't care.
He looks like an old man, dude. He's an old man.
I agree.
I mean, like I said, it's like bringing Matt Noakes back to catch for the Yankees, and he's 58 years old. I mean, it's so real. Oh, Matt looks good. He's in good shape.
I know.
When are wrestling fans going to knock it off and get with what reality is?
I personally think that if they would have had Samoa Joe, one or two pleasant surprises, and had Roman Reigns come in a little bit earlier, Roman Reigns could have been sleeping. I remember last year in the Royal Rumble, Roman sleeping. I think it was last year.
No,
Roman sleeping. Either. I'm pretty sure it was last year. Whatever it was.
I remember that.
But, you know, the thing is that, you know, if Roman Reigns wouldn't have eliminated the... Now, look, I totally get it. They want to set up Undertaker, Reigns. Okay, fine. But my opinion, let Roman Reigns eliminate the Undertaker before Goldberg and Bray and Brock Lesnar get eliminated. Because once Lesnar got eliminated, people like, oh, shit, now the two guys that are left, you know, the icons is Undertaker and Goldberg. Oh, shit, Goldberg just got eliminated. That leaves Undertaker. And then Roman Reigns' music hits after the two big men get eliminated. Oh, terrible. Terrible. And like I said, I feel bad for Roman Reigns. Because when we opened up this recap, we did it 5 minutes after the pay-per-view ended.
Yeah.
And my initial reaction was, I'm not a Roman Reigns fan, but I got to give him some respect for the performance he put on against Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens did great too. But it's like, you know, it comes to a point where you guys say, okay, the guy earned his paycheck. You got to give him, show him a little respect.
No, that's what I'm saying. Critically, he will get that. I'm sure Solomon's, I'm sure Mish, who's always fair. I don't know about Joey. I don't know his take on Reigns, but my brother's a little one-sided when it comes to Reigns. But I would say since Mish is kind of the leader of that show, he'll probably give him credit. Jason, Phil, of course, is always fair. So most podcasters, I would say, will give Reigns credit. However, once again, fan base-wise, out of 100 haters of Reigns, 10% might say, all right, yeah, he did a good job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think, you know, they could have done this a little bit different. I don't like it. Seth Rollins, you know what I mean? Like,
is he still in the company?
I mean, this is all designed to have Seth Rollins versus Triple H. They finally did what you and I have been saying for about 8 months.
Right.
You know, they had him show up at NXT to confront Triple H. Finally. Yeah. I mean, we've only been saying it for like 8 or 9 months or whatever it is. I mean, but I don't know. But, hey, that's your Royal Rumble pay-per-view. Believe me, I know we didn't get into specific highlights here and there. I wrote down so many fucking notes during the matches, but I'm looking at the clock, and Kevin and I have already done 50 minutes for this pay-per-view
recap.
Yeah, and
honestly, I work till 6:30, so I am exhausted.
Yeah, and I got really my girl exhausted. In the other room.
I'll be fresh and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed for tomorrow night's show.
Well, tomorrow night we're going to have a little abbreviated show because this 50 minutes will be part of tomorrow night's
show. No, but I'll be well-rested.
Yeah. So we'll have
I force myself to stay up for the Royal Rumble. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We'll do a tight 60 minutes tomorrow night. Plus, this audio gives everybody, the regular listeners, like a 2-hour broadcast, which I think is good.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, tomorrow night we'll talk about Raw, you know, we'll talk about NXT and some other things that are going down.
Yeah, we'll get into the Trump stuff and other things that are going on.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, world news or whatever.
Yeah, people are going to be surprised. Now, like I said, a majority of everybody listening are going to hear this backwards. They're going to hear Monday show first and then they're going to hear this recap after.
Yes.
But, you know, if you're hearing this on Patreon first, I will give a little teaser. I actually feel that what went down this weekend with those people with the green cards and the visas from Iraq and Iran, I think they deserve to be in the country.
Well, we'll
have the debate tomorrow night.
Yeah, now, like I said, to get one more show in for Patreon subscribers, we'll get a Castle Chronicles going on Tuesday.
Yep.
Before February 1st hits, so you get an extra show.
Yeah, that'll work. And, yeah. Like, you know, for everybody that's hearing this on Patreon tonight, the 29th, Sunday night, I will post the winners of the pay-per-view predictions contest on Monday. If I get the official time as far as who got eliminated quicker, it's either Ellsworth or Enzo. I think Enzo got eliminated.
It was Enzo.
I think it was Enzo.
People are saying it as I'm looking, scrolling things online. People are saying RIP Enzo's career.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up just to be official, and maybe I could figure out the winners tonight. But you know, I got the girl in the other room. I don't want to piss her off.
Well, it says to Enzo, new top jobber. I was like, as you know, Don Tony, let's all calm down. Oh, new warlord, they're calling Enzo.
I wouldn't say that. Why? Because Warlord got eliminated quick?
Yeah, that's, you know, everyone's kind of saying one thing is clear. One thing is clear tonight. Reigns is still an office favorite, and Enzo is not looked at as anything in the back. I don't know about that, guys. I think that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of stuff like where, you know, Enzo's career is nowhere after he breaks up with. You're reading way too much into
that. Yeah, it's the Royal Rumble. Some people get eliminated quick. So what? I mean, come on, you know. And the only thing that Enzo has in common with the Warlord is they both have dicks. They're both alive. They're both white, and they both wrestled. I mean, Warlord, please.
Well, someone did a thing of the guys eliminated the quickest in the Royal Rumble.
So what?
Went on to do nothing in the industry.
Well, you know what? Enzo's career is still way ahead of him, and anybody that's going to try to put him in that list is on crack.
And he's a little guy.
He's only been on TV for what, a year?
Yeah.
The main roster? Come on.
I think because we were talking about keep 'em, dump 'em last week with Kaz being like a future star solo, that Enzo is kind of the Marty Jannetty by default.
Oh, I don't think that at all.
You know, I don't know.
It's too early to tell, but
yeah,
nah.
They haven't even won the belts. Aren't they still a team? They're not separated yet.
They've only been around for a year. What the fuck are people waiting? You know, relax, everyone.
By the way, that segment got really a lot of props, the one that we did. I was shocked how many people viewed it, and the positive of the keep release thing that we did, segment that Tracks put online.
Yeah.
Someone said, yo, go take a look at this. From like the day it was put up, it went from like 200 people in 48 hours, went to like 7,000.
Yeah. It's so cool.
Well, obviously the title, people, you know, when you see that, like, you know, fire, heart, you know what I mean?
I'm just happy that I somehow got my pro-abortion stance mixed in with if we should keep Darren Young or not.
No, I thought that was a good segment.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I know.
Most people liked it. I
liked what I heard. You know,
I thought it was good. What was the other thing that I wanted to mention? Oh, yeah, people wanted to know if we were going to talk about, or I guess we'll save it tomorrow, Bobby Roode's victory over the Nakamura.
Yeah, we'll talk about it on
talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
talk about it tomorrow.
And, you know, this is kind of like an episode of Spaceballs from the Spaceballs the movie. When they're looking at Spaceballs the movie, you know, when did it happen? Just now. When is now? That just happened. When? You know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no, because cool. Yeah, because by now, everybody listening from Monday already heard our talk.
Right, well, we'll get into the whole NXT card.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But real quick, are we glad Bobby Roode won the belt? Yeah, I guess. Right.
Yeah, no problems.
Yeah,
I no mean, complaints.
That's good. Does that mean Nakamura's going to debut on Raw tomorrow night, D'Antoni?
Who knows? Let me say this. If he does, then my first reaction is, why the fuck was he not in the Royal Rumble?
Right.
You know, I mean, spice it up. I mean,
gotta admit, him versus... if they do bring him up, they should put him on SmackDown. Him versus AJ Styles would be classic.
I mean, I'm not shitting on New Day, but you had all three members of New Day. You mean to tell me you couldn't just put maybe leave one of them out and fucking put Nakamura in his place? Do we really need to see? I don't want to shit on Apollo Crews, but do we need to see him?
There were some guys who did not need to be in there, and they could have put bigger names, bigger pop names in there. You know, and you could tell, like, when the clock was counting down, people were really gearing up to see some sort of surprise. It was in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to admit, you probably thought, too. But when we were getting to the late 20s, I knew that it wasn't going to happen.
You are 100% right, because I told my girlfriend, once we hit, like, 24, I said to her, I was like, wait a minute. We still got Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker. I don't remember who the other person was. I don't remember who the fourth one was. And I'm like, wait a minute, but there's only six slots left. Where are the surprises?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you remember that? Oh, you know what this reminds you of? The episode of The Honeymooners.
Yeah, that's true.
When it was Ralph's birthday.
Yeah.
And what did
what Ed Norton say? What a surprise.
Yeah. Oh, what a surprise. And Norton's like, that is the surprise.
You should play that soundbite tomorrow night. This is the Royal Rumble. This is what we wanted, but this is what happened.
What happened?
We should do that. We should do, like, you know, a Royal Rumble surprises. Oh, what a surprise.
Ralph Cramden opens the door and thinks he's going to have a surprise party. He's like, oh, what a surprise.
We should use that tomorrow night. We should use that to open the show tomorrow night.
There's nobody there. And then Ed Norton says, Ralph, I figured out that is the surprise. And he's like, there's no, what are you talking about? The surprise is there ain't going to be no party.
Exactly.
Get out.
We should have that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you should get that soundbite.
I could picture Vince in the back, you know, like Triple A. They give me a surprise. Yeah, that is the surprise. There ain't going to be no surprises.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, you're fired. All right, Kev. Have a good night.
Okay, we'll be in tomorrow night for people on Patreon. You'll, like I said, hear this tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And not in order, though.
Yeah, unless we played this first, and, you know. We'll put it at the end.
Because something could happen. There could be a surprise tomorrow night, and then we can have all
somebody could tragically die.
That's true.
You know, who knows?
All right, I'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, later.
All right, peace.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this pay-per-view recap podcast. Wow, we went almost a fucking hour. And we didn't even get into a lot of specifics. And I tell you, I actually wrote so much detail in each match. But I guess when I do these pay-per-view recaps solo, that since it's only me talking, you know, like I could put in twice as much convo, you know, since it's just me. But I thought it made sense. Having Kevin Castle on with me tonight, we get to talk about the Royal Rumble now. Because if he wasn't on, then he would have interjected his thoughts on Monday night. And then I would react to it. And then some people would say, wait a minute, I heard you say the same thing twice. The beginning and the end. Get it? I think you get it. All right, everyone. So I'm going to jet out of here. Thank you for the support, as always. For everybody that's on Patreon, don't forget, this Tuesday, the 31st of January, you will get your next edition of Castle Chronicles. Kev will be recording it early. I will be sending a message online to everybody tonight, the VIPers that want to leave any questions for Kev for that episode. I return with Breakfast with Blasi this week, Wednesday, February 1st. And your next episode of Breakfast Soup on Patreon, featuring yours truly and Mish, will be next Wednesday, the 8th of February. And don't forget, if you're not on Patreon, I put up another lost episode today of the Mass Maniac Show featuring New Jack and Axel Rotten. A very, very famous episode that was done. Can't believe it's been 10 years, but that's playing now. And we'll be putting some more retro audio up later this week. All right, everyone. Take care. I'll talk to you all soon. Ciao.